Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Tes. And we are four lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis, Reb Chanina Nofak Likir Yosa. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasuna Batzar V'Hashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refua Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. So, we're moving along in Perek HaMoicher Peiros, which continues to discuss laws related to buyers and sellers. It began in the fourth perek, HaMoicher Sabayis. It continued into the fifth perek, HaMoicher Sasfina. The third perek is HaMoicher Peiros. Now, the names of the prakim: somebody sells a house, somebody sells a ship, somebody sells fruit. But in between, there were several mishnayos that discussed people that sold other things as well. In fact, last mishnah that we learned on the top of Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis, the mishnah discussed HaMoicher Mokam L'Chaver. If somebody sells a parcel of land to his friend with the purpose of the buyer building something, so depending on what the buyer intends on building, that will determine how big that parcel of land has to be. 4x6, 6x8, 10x10. We had a braisa that discussed a 12x12. Additionally, the Mishnah discussed how tall the bais would have to be, meaning to the extent that you're selling a piece of property, so it has to be wide enough and long enough for whatever this person intends on building. You also have to make sure that it's able to facilitate the height necessary for this building. Another application of this halacha is if somebody is mekabel. So if someone's mekabel makam l'chaveiro, somebody's a contractor, and he agrees to build a certain type of structure for whoever it is that owns the land. So again, he's bound by the same exact Shulchan Aruch. Depending on what type of structure he took upon himself to build, that would determine the width, it would determine the height, it would determine the length, etc., etc. B'derech Agav, what was mentioned in the Mishnah was that the Shita of the Chachamim, could be it's also the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it was in Ibaya in the Gemara, is that the height of this structure has to equal half the sum of the length and the width. So, for example, in the event that somebody is mekabel to build a refes bakar for somebody, which the Mishnah said has to be a minimum of 4x6, so the height would have to be 5, because 4 plus 6 is 10, half of that is 5, so now your height would have to end up being 5 amas. And that is the formula, that is the ratio that we work with. And the Mishnah said that what's the makar to this ratio? It's kebinyan ha-heichel. It's learned from the measurements of the heichel. And the reason is because the heichel was 40 amas long, it was 20 amas wide, and it was 30 amas tall. So the heichel conformed to this ratio, and being that the heichel conformed to this ratio, so too, any contractor would have to conform to this ratio as well. Either way, we mention the dimensions of the Heichel, and the Gemara is going to do what it's been doing throughout Maseches Bava Basra, and that is digress, but not just digress. This is another Gemara that talks about the Beis HaMikdash. So we made a big deal about this when we finished Cheskes Habatim, how Perek HaShutfin began, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet, with the Beis HaMikdash of Hordes, and Cheskes Habatim ended with Kol HaMesabela Yerushalayim, Zoicha V'Roya B'Simchasa, and there was different inyonim related to the Beis HaMikdash sprinkled in between the beginning of HaShutfin and the end of Cheskes Habatim. And it seems to be almost the chorus, some subliminal theme of Maseches Bava Basra. We set a pshat based on the Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Balak, Ve'en Kan HaMokim, Lachzor U'Laharech, but again, underrated. This is another Gemara, another classic Gemara that relates to the Beis HaMikdash that somehow found itself tucked away in Maseches Bava Basra. Says the Gemara, Rab Chanina Nafak Karyasa. Rab Chanina went out to the villages. Romalei Kroya Dodi. So the Olam heard that Rab Chanina is coming to town. So everybody went for brachas. Yeah, but also to ask Shilas. The Gadol Adar shows up. So this kasha is that we've had certain ibayas, so we want to ask the Gedolim. So they went out to Rab Chanina, and they asked them the following question. They said, there's a stira between two psukim that's always bothered us. Ksiv, the pasuk says, V'habayis ha-shobana ha-melech shloimoy l'ashem, shishem ama arkoy, v'esrim rachboy, u'shloishem ama koymasim. Now this pasuk is in Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. It's talking, as the Pasuk says, about the Bayis Asher Bona HaMelech Shlomo Lashem. It's referring to Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, meaning the first Beis HaMikdash. And it mentions that the height of the Beis HaMikdash was 30 amos. V'ksiv, they asked the Kasha from another Pasuk. And this is also Melachim Aleph. This is Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf, where the Pasuk is describing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it says, V'lifnei HaDivir, on the other side of the Dvir. Again, referring to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Esrim Amo Oirech, it was 20 amos long. V'esrim Amo Roichav, it was 20 amos wide. V'esrim Amo Koymasoi, and it was 20 amos tall. So what's the Kasha? Is the height of the Beis HaMikdash 30 amos, or is the height of the Beis HaMikdash 20 amos? Now, just to explain this a little bit better, the Vahabayis Ashobana HaMelech Shloim is referring to the Heichal. The Heichal was really one structure that was made up of two parts. What's known as the Heichal, and what's known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Meaning, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Lefnai V'Lefnim of the Heichal. So if the height of the Heichal is 30 amos, L'chura, by definition, that would mean that the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is also 30 amos. Yet when we describe the Heichal in totality, so the height is 30 amos, but when we zero in on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's only 20 amos. L'chura, has that make sense? And this is the question that the villagers asked the great Rab Chanina. Omar lohu, Rab Chanina told them, it's a good question. However, let me tell you the answer. Ki kachashiv misfas kruvim ulamayla. When we cheshbin in that pasuk, the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're not measuring from the floor to the ceiling, but rather we're measuring from the top of the kruvim until the ceiling. Now, the kruvim themselves were 10 amos tall. As a result, if you were going to measure from the tip of the kruvim until the ceiling, you'd end up with 20 amos. And as a result, it all stems. Meaning, enochinami. You want to know floor to ceiling, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the equivalent of floor to ceiling in the entire Eichel, which is 30 amos. Why does the Pasuk say, V'lefnei Advir, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amos? Because it's not cheshbening floor to ceiling. The pasuk that says 30 amos is floor to ceiling. The pasuk that says 20 amos is from the top of the kruvim until the ceiling. But the Gemara says, my kamashmalon. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara's kasha, it's not my kamashmalon, what's the chiddush, but what's the significance of reading the measurement in that way? Meaning, if you want to tell me the measurement of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, probably the measurement that I'm interested in knowing about is floor to ceiling. You're telling me how much it is from the top of the kruvim until the ceiling. Why is that significant? And why would that be the way that the pasuk would present the midah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Gemara says, how kamash malon? There's a significance. Meaning there's a chiddush lahalacha. It's a kamash malon. There's some chiddush lahalacha that's meant to be taken from this, and that is lemata kilemalo, that the 10 amos that were on the bottom part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the kruvim were the same as the 20 amos that were from the top of the kruvim up until the ceiling. How so? Mala mailo ein mishamish klum. Just like that ear was just ear space, right? There was nothing there. It was just avir. Afle mata ein mishamish klum. So too, the area where the kruvim were, the bottom 10 amos, was also ein mishamish klum. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. I thought the kruvim were there. What do you mean there was nothing there? It's Mufrach Mineu Beis, as the Gemara Messiah, hey, the Rab Levi. This supports something Rab Levi said. Amr Rab Levi, Rab Levi said, Ve'item Rab Yoichanan. And some say it was Rab Yoichanan that said, Dov is a Messiah, Spiadena Mayavisenu. The following statement is something that we have in Messiah, and that is Mokoim, Aroin, Ve'kruvim, Inam in Amida. That the Aroin and the Kruvim, they took up no space. And being that they took up no space, so what emerges is that the bottom 10 Amis, even though there were Kruvim there, but they didn't take up any space. And because they didn't take up any space, so it's as if Avr was there in the sense that they're not toifis any physical makim, and that's the significance of singling out the 20 top amos. Why would we do that? Because we want to bring out that the entire 30 amos is like that 20 amos. That's the dogush. And those 20 amos is ein mishamish klum, so to the bottom 10 amos is also ein mishamish klum. But that's this idea that makim aren the kruvim in a minamida. Now, I think it's kedai to speak out one thing, and it's going to play itself out in this next gemara as well. We're talking about the kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. The kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech were not the same as the kruvim that we're all familiar with from the Mishkan. The kruvim in the Mishkan, we know from Parshas Truma, were kruvim that were on top of the aray. The kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech were kruvim that were on the floor, right? That's just go through this in a little bit more detail. The Arin was relatively small. Amasayim v'chetzi yarkoi, v'amo v'chetzi rachboi, v'amo v'chetzi koimasoi. Right, it's not very big. Amasayim v'chetzi is be'erich 5 feet, right? Amo v'chetzi is be'erich 3 feet. It's 3 by 5. The Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech, we just said, went 10 amas tall. We're about to see that the wingspan of the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech were 20 amas long. These were massive. They were very, very big. And they were not the same as the Kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, to be clear, in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo, there was an Aron, and the Aron had those Kruvim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was. Meaning, there were two sets of Kruvim. There was the Kruvim that was on top of the Aron, and then you had these massive Kruvim, which are the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. Everyone knows the Gemara, Dov is them, Asarius, Miyadena, Miyabeseinu, Mokim, Ha'oroin, Enam, and Amida. That's well known. Most people know it not from Bava Basra, Tzadik Tess. They know it from Megillah Daf Yod, maybe Yuma Chavalev, but for sure, Megillah Daf Yod, right? That's an often learned Seifzman Mesechta. Everyone knows that. Mokim, Ha'oroin, Enam, and Amida. A lot of machshava in that Inyan, but what our Gemara is saying is that it's not just the Aroin and its Kruvim, but it's even the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. They merited that same exact miracle. Meaning there's a Sheiches between the Kruvim of Shlomo and the Kruvim of the Aroin on such a pneumistic level that that incredible miracle of Mokim Aroin Enam and Amida is true even for the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. But the bottom line is that's the reason that the Pasuk mentioned the 20 Amos, it's because we want to bring out that all 30 Amos are like those 20 Amos. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, to the Iker Halacha of Dovazeh, Miserius Biyadenu Me'abiseinu, that Mokim Oren Enam and Amida. You see from here that the Mokim Oren was Enam and Amida. Why? Because the Oren that Moshe Rabbeinu made had 10 Amos of space, the Chol Ruach. Now the width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 10 Amos. The problem is, how could there be 10 Amos? It was 20 Amos. The problem is, how could you have 10 Amos, the whole Ruach of the Aron? The Aron itself took up space. How much space? Right? So the length of the Aron, which goes along the width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is Amosayim V'chetzi. It's 2.5 Amos. Which means that really, if you put the Aron in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and now you're going to measure from the two edges of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, how much space are you going to have in total? It's going to be 17.5. And 17.5 divided by 2 is how much you're going to have on each respective side. But it's not going to be 10 Amos to each side. Oh, must be that the Mokim Ma'arin itself is Eina Mina Amida. Amar Rabbanoi, Amar Shmuel. Rabbanoi said in the name of Shmuel, Kruvim Benes Hayoim them. The Kruvim. Now we're going back to the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. Those Kruvim Benes Hayoim them, the whole Inyan was Maisa Nisa. Now, just as the background to this Gemara that we're about to learn, so we have to know one Pasuk in Melachim Aleph. This is in Perek Vav. It's Pasuk of Zayin. Pasuk says, Vayitein Es HaKruvim B'teich HaBayis HaPnimi. So Shlomo HaMelech took the Kruvim and he put them in the inner bayis. He put them in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vayifresu es kanfei HaKruvim. He spread out the wings of the Kruvim. Vatiga knafo echot bakir. U knaf HaKruv HaSheni noigas bakir HaShen. So the two Kruvim are side by side. By the way, the direction that they're in is north-south. It's Safon Darim. They're side by side. The wing of one is touching the northern kir, northern wall, and the wing of the other one is touching the southern kir, the southern wall. V'kanfeyem el toichabayis noigais knaf el knaf. And the wings that faced inside were touching each other. So basically you have two kruvim that are standing side by side. And as it relates to each one of these kruvim, one of its wings are touching the wall, and the other one is touching the other kruv. And they're side by side, right? So if you look at them together, so if you want to go from wing to wing, right, the entire wingspan of the two kruvim tzazamen, so basically they're touching each other in the middle, and each wing is touching the respective wall that it's close to. That is the way that these kruvim were situated. Okay, so said Rabbi Noi in the name of Shmuel, this inyan is my sinisen. How do I know that? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'chamish amos knaf hakruv ha'achas, v'chamish amos knaf hakruv ha'sheni. The length of each one of the kruvim was 5 amos. So each wing, right, not the actual kruv, each wing, each kruv has 2 wings. See, each wing is 5 amos. Eser amos miktsois knafa vaktsois knafa, which means that the wingspan of each individual kruv is going to be 10 amos. So Again, a kruv has two wings. Each wing is 5 amas. So 5 plus 5 is 10. It's like this. You can have each kruv is going to end up being 10 amas. So what's the question? The question is, gufayu hecha vikaimi. Where was the guf of the actual kruv? What's the kasha? It's ikka chasu from the Gemara. No, it's that pasuk that we just mentioned. Because being that each kruv is 10 amas, and the way that they're situated is they're literally touching each other, that means that the wings are 10 amas plus 10 amas, which is 20 amas. Now, the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself is 20 amas, which means that the wings take up the entire 20 amas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If the wings take up the entire 20 amas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where's the actual kruv? Where's the actual being? Where's that going to be? Meaning the wings are taking up the entire 20 amas. And if the wings are taking up the entire 20 amas, so where's the actual kruv going to be? So again, the way that the kruvim are situated is that they're side by side, their wings are spread out, they're touching each other, and they're touching the wall. Okay. And we're saying that the wingspan of each one of these kruvim is 10 amas. What's the cheshbon of 10 amas? Because each wing is 5 amas, and each kruv has 2 wings. As a result, it's 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5, which means that it's 20. If they're side by side, that means the wings are taking up 20 amas. The problem is, the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amas. How do we know that? We read the pasuk earlier. What's the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's 20 by 20, so we know it's 20 amas. And if the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amas, so where is the guf? Right, where is the actual guf? Now, the Rashbam explains very gishmak, that the Gemara now thinks that the way the kruvim were was the wings were like the hands of a person. That's what the Rashbam says. So a person has hands, right? So where do the hands come from? It comes from your sides, right? Which means if a person has a certain width, right? Whatever that is. Now to the side of his width, to his right and to his left, he's going to have hands protruding. The assumption is that the kruvim are the same exact way. So you have 2 kruvim, and they have wings coming out of the sides. The problem is if the wings themselves make up 20 amas, so where's the guf, right? So whatever the waist of the kruvim themselves are, but at the end of the day, l'chura, you need that space. And you don't have that space because the whole area is 20 amas and the wings themselves take up 20 amas. Oh, must be it's benes havakami. And what's the nes? The nes is that the guf of the kruvim are not toifis machim. That is the specific nes. Right? Elishmamina benes hayo'aynim. So the Gemara now is going to ask 6 questions on this assumption. Meaning it sounds at first glance like there's a major miracle going on over here. But the Gemara says, maskefla, abaya, abaya asks, v'dima bolten ketar negoylam havakami. How do you know that the wings came out of the sides of the kruvim? Maybe they came out of the back of the kruvim, like a tarnagol. So a tarnagol has wings, and the wings are not on the side. The wings come out of the back. The point is that you don't need any additional space for the guf of the kruvim, because it overlaps with the wings, because the wings are actually out of the back. So whatever your width is, that's part and parcel of the 5 amas of each one of the wings. And if that's the case, you have no makar that it's benes hayuim. The maskula rava. Rava asked a different kasha. He said, "V'dilma zeh shaloi kenegazeh havakaimi." How do you know that they're literally side by side? Meaning the assumption is that they're literally side by side. Maybe not. Maybe one is a little bit towards Ma'ariv, the other one is a little bit towards Mizrach. Right? There's no hechrit that is side by side. Now, the reason we thought they were side by side is we're coming from this pasuk in Malachim. The pasuk says, "Vatiga knaf echa bakir knaf akruv asheni nagas bakir asheni." Okay, so that's fine, right? They'll both, in terms of their outer wing, be touching the wall, right? That's not such a problem. "Vikanfeim al teicha bayis." That's a problem. Nagas kanaf al kanaf. The two wings are touching. Say this, so they're touching. Who said they're touching at the edges? Who said they're touching at the tips? Who said the tip of their fingers, so to speak, are touching? Maybe they overlap a little bit, and mimela they end up touching. But no one says that it's mamash in that way. Maskel, Rachav Yaakov, Rachav Yaakov, that's the different kasha. He said, "V'dumu b'al chsoyna havakaimi." Maybe they were both touching the wall, side by side, meaning they're on a perfect line. The tips even touch, but they're not going tzof into darin. But rather, one was in one corner and the other one was another corner. What's the significance? The significance is that we know that the diagonal of a square is longer than the side of the square. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a square. It's 20 by 20, which by definition means that the diagonal is going to be longer. It's 1.4 times. It's much longer. If it's much longer, so mamelia have more space, and that additional space is what makes up for the guf of the actual kruvim. Maskel of Ravuna Breda Ravishua. Ravuna Breda Ravishua said, "I have another kasha. V'dilma beisna mei lo yiravach." Maybe the bias of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on top became a little bit wider meaning maybe on the bottom, if you were going to measure the dimensions all the way in the bottom, so then it was going to be 20 by 20. But as it rose, maybe it got a little bit wider. And how would it get a little bit wider? So the way the Rashbam explains it is that it could be the avonim of the Beis HaMikdash were thicker on the bottom than now we're on top. So if they're now we're on top, they're a little bit thinner. By definition, there's going to be a little bit more space. But the point is that the wings are touching on top, and being that the wings are touching on top, so maybe based on that, you're able to make it work. Maskel from the Brit Rabbi Maskel Rapapa asked another kasha. Vidoma make of havi kai fi yodayu. Maybe the wings were spread out, but they weren't spread out 100%. I mean, they're spread out, yeah, but could be, let's say, you can spread out your fingers 100%, or you can make a fist, right? So maybe they're making like a little bit of a fist, make of havi kai fi. Right? And Rosh Hashanah is supposed to daven, make of kaifi, like the shofar, it's a little bent. So maybe they're a little bit bent. If they're a little bit bent, like this, it's going to work. Maskel, Rav Ashi asked another kasha. Vidumah shalchufi habi mishalchufi, says Rashbam. What does that mean? So this is like a pshutei shalmikra Rashbam, where he talks about the targum. But he says maybe what it means is that their hands were even clutched, like they were like hugging each other, so to speak. Meaning each one hugging itself. But again, the point is, who said that they were spread out 100%? If they're not spread out 100%, this kasha is not going to be a kasha. The bottom line is, Rabbanoi said in the name of Shmuel, Kruven Benesha Yoimdim, just based on the math, and the Gemara asked like pachas from six questions. Meaning, you're assuming you have all the facts perfect. And really, you're assuming that the way you're supposed to read this pasuk here in Malachim Aleph is that they're side by side from Tzofen to Darim, and their wings are perfectly spread out, and they're touching each other at the tips. There are a lot of assumptions in this Benesha Yoimdim. In fact, there are six assumptions, and the Gemara says that for any one of these six reasons, there's no hechrich to say that the Kruvim were Benes HaYoimdim, says the Gemara. Ketzad Hein Oimdim. So the Kruvim was standing. How exactly were they standing? Rabbi Yechon Rablazer was machleikis Rabbi Yechon Rablazer. Chadam one said, Pnei Mishal Achiv, that the Kruvim were facing each other. Chadam the other one said, Pnei Labayas, that no, they weren't facing each other, but they were facing the opposite direction. Now the truth is that both of these Shitois have a Makar. They both have a Makar. The Pasuk says that Kanfei hakruvim ha'ele persim amis esrim v'hem oimdim al ragleim upneim laboyas. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis. So the pasuk says meforish that how were they situated? They were situated pneim el laboyas. There's another pasuk that says v'hoyu hakruvim persik nafaim l'maylo soichachim b'kanfeim al kapayres upneim ish el ochiv. That pasuk is a parashas mishpatim. But we have a pasuk that describes the kruvim as being pnei malabayas. We also have a pasuk that describes the kruvim as being pnei mishalachim. Now the truth is, the two psukim are not talking about the same kruvim. The kruvim and parashas mishpatim are obviously the kruvim that are on top of the yard. The kruvim that are mentioned in Divrei Hayomim are talking about Shlomo HaMelech's kruvim. Again, we said that they're not the same Kruvim. But as we're going to see in a minute, just like in the beginning of the Yomid, with regards to Benes HaYoimim, the Gemara thinks that they should operate in the same Mahalach. Here too, the Gemara is going to assume the same thing. But the bottom line is, it was a Machloikis, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lazar. We don't know who said what. One said that the way the Kruvim were was Pnei Mishalachiv, and the other one said that it was Pnei Labayas. Says the Gemara, the Mandama Pnei Mishalachiv, according to the Mandama that says, yeah, we don't know who, but according to the Mandama that says it was Pnei Mishalachiv, or Ksimbu Pnei Labayas, doesn't it say in the Torah Pnei Labayas? So how are you going to make sense of that possible? So it's like, Kasha, Kambis Manchi, Yisrael Oysen, Ritzayna Shalmakim, Kambis Manchi, Ein Oysen, when the Yisrael are oisim Ritzayin Yishalmakayim, so then it's Pnei Mishalachiv. Because Pnei Mishalachiv of the Kruvim is symbolic of the feelings and of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if they're oisim Ritzayin Yishalmakayim, then in Mela it's going to be Pnei Mishalachiv. If, however, Yisrael is ein oisim Ritzayin Yishalmakayim, so then that's symbolized in the Kruvim, and it's going to be Pnei Labayas. Notice the two Kruvim, one represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other one represents Klal Yisrael. So if we're Oysen Ritzayin Yishalmakim, so then there's this leapshaft between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's symbolized in the Kruvim Pneim Ishalachit. If, however, we're Ein Oysen Ritzayin Yishalmakim, then Chalila, it's as if we're looking in one direction, David is looking in the other direction. Says the Gemara, the man number Pneim Labayis, according to the man number that says that it was Pneim Labayis, Haksiv, Upneim Ishalachit. Doesn't the Pasuk say Upneim Ishalachit, right? What are you going to do with that Pasuk? So the Gemara says, the Mitzad Diyat Studi. Even that man number that says Upneim Labayis, it wasn't literally literally playing labayis, but it's like you're looking, but you're not looking, right? You're a little bit to the side. So on the one hand, it's a little bit pneim ishalachim, but it's also a little bit pneim labayis. The Tanya, in effect, is a makar to this from a braisa. Unkelus hager amar. Unkelus hager said, kruvim, the kruvim were masei tzatzuim. They looked like children. Now the truth is, that's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayom. Vayas beveis kodesh hakodashim kruvim shnayim masei tzatzuim. Well, first a pasuk that the kruvim were masei tzatzuim. But either way, Unkelus hager said that the kruvim were masei tzatzuim heim umetzudadim pneim ketalmud hanifta meirabi. And the way they were facing was, it's like when a talmud goes away from his rebbe, so he looks a little bit to the side. That's exactly the way the kruvim were. The point is that you see already this idea from Unkelus hager, the mitzadadi atzudi. And that is the way that Mando Amar is going to learn. It's interesting that this Unkelus Hager is actually not a Targum Unkelus, right? It's not a Targum Unkelus. If you look at the way Unkelus teaches Kruvim, he teaches it Kruvim, meaning even though Unkelus is interpreting the Lashon Kodesh word into Aramaic, it just changes the mem into a nun. But the point is, it's the Zelbe Kruvim. That's the word that he uses. But this is a braisa that we have from Unkelus Hager that said, Maiset Satsuenheim, Umitsudodim, Pneim, Ketamada Niftami Rabbi, and we're going to get back to this Gemara. Zok the Mishnah Vayta, Mishi Eshla Barlof Nimi Beis Shachaveira. If somebody owns a pit inside his friend's house, so somebody owns a house and he sold the bar inside his house. What was the purpose of the bar? To go take water out of the bar. So one person owns the house, the other person owns the pit. So this person has a right to use the pit, obviously. But at the same time, he can only use it during the time that it's normal and usual for people to use it. So you're nichnas at the time that people come in, you're yoitze at the time that people leave. The Rashbam says it means during the day, as opposed to at night. At night, it's not the derech. So during the day hours, 9 to 5, 8 to 4, then you have a right to do it. But beyond that, it's not okay. Additionally, even though the purpose of this water might be for you to feed your animals, but you can't bring your animal into your neighbor's living room to go to the bar. You can take it to go. You go, you take the water, you bring it outside, and that's where you mashka your behemoth. Ela mamala, you fill up your pail, and you give it to drink outside. Meaning, even though somehow there was an arrangement, one person ended up with the house, the other person ended up with the pit, right? Whether it's Achim Shachalko, whether he sold it to him, Ayin Yoth, Ayin Roh, whatever. But the point is that the understanding is, yeah, you can use the pit that I have inside my house, but number one, you can use it in the way that people use it, which is normal business hours. And number two, you know, you can't bring your whole chadgadia, literally, into my house. That's not something you'd be allowed to do. Okay, additionally, each person gets a key to this bar. We'll talk about this a little bit. But kipshutai, what it means is there's two locks and each person gets a lock. So the Gemara says like this, Pesachas lehecha. Where do these keys go? So we just gave it away. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shneim lebar. They're both keys to the bar. Meaning there were two locks and each person has a schus to one of these locks, and he has the key to that lock. Tomorrow says like this, Bishlam Bala Bar, I understand why the Bala Bar wants to make sure that he's going to have a lock that only he has access to. Why? He wants to protect his water. He owns the water. But why would the Bala Bayis need a lock? Now, the truth is like this. Had Rabbi Yochanan not said Shneim Lebar, so then you could have said that he has a lock to his house, right? So I have a schus to have a lock to my house, and you have a schus to have a lock to your bar. Oh, that makes perfect sense. You want to protect the water in your bar, and I want to protect everything else. But that's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Pesachas is to the bar. If the Pesachas is to the bar, it almost sounds like we don't care so much about making sure that he has a lock to his house. Now you'd say, doesn't he anyways have a lock to his house? Lav Dafka, back in the day. But that's not the Nakuda. That doesn't bother us. And the Rashbam speaks out why. The Rashbam says, because what are you worried about? This person's going to go steal the Leichter? His wife is home, right? There's people there that are going to protect it. That's not the Nakuda. That's not what we're worried about. It sounds like the owner of the house has a schus to keep the bar locked. And the question is, what would be the pshat in that? Amar Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar said, Mishum Cheshad Ishtoi. It's not related to this person stealing. That's not the vart. The vart is that we're afraid that if this person is going to have 100% access to his bar, then he'll be able to come whenever he wants. And he might maneuver to come at a time where he knows it's not Baila Be'ir, and it's going to end up with a Yichud and a Chashad Ishtoi problem. So like this, the owner of the house knows that I control the bar just as much as he controls the bar. He's not worried about anyone stealing anything, but he's worried about a Masechta Saita problem. So what he does is he has a lock, and like this, the Balabar needs the consent. He needs to notify the owner of the house in order for him to be able to get in, and this will alleviate this from ever being a chashash. Zok the Mishnah right. Me inyan le inyan, very much ba'oise inyan. Mishesh l'gina lifne miginasa shachaveiroi. If somebody owns a garden that's within his friend's garden, so there were two gardens, and one was within the other. One person owned the outer, the other person owns the inner. The person that owns the inner garden has a right to come and go. However, he only has a right to come and go during normal business hours, when it's the derech for people to go. But I just want to be clear about one thing. We had so many times earlier in these sugyas where if somebody owns a bar within somebody else's house, or somebody owns a gina within somebody else's gina, does he have to buy the derech? Does he not have to buy the derech? If a moich is buying yofa, buying ro. That's not our Indian here. We're talking about after the fact. He already has the derech, right? He's going to get the derech, right? He's not going to fly in, right? So he's for sure going to have a derech. The question is, now that he has the derech, right? This is negeya, everybody. Now that he has the derech, how exactly do I use it? Says Zok the Mishnah, just like the person that owns the bar in somebody else's house, he can use it, but only during normal hours. So too, as it relates to this, it's going to be the same thing. Additionally, let's say you want to sell some of the tefuah that you have in this garden, so you can't bring the merchants into your gina to sell it to them. Again, you want to sell it, you bring it outside and you show it to them there. But you can't pitch some sort of shingle in that gina, and now all of a sudden you're going to have all this foot traffic coming in. Meaning the person that had the outer garden was mevater on this balagina coming and going during regular business hours. But to start having a geshef, that's not something he already signed off on. Additionally, for the yikanes mitoicha, lutoich, sada, acheres. Let's say you have another garden somewhere else, and it would be convenient for you to get to that garden through this garden. So you have this inner garden, plus you have some other piece of property. You now had to use the inner garden as a shortcut to get to your other garden. Meaning, you have rights to go through the outer garden, but only to get and to work and to cultivate and to take from that inner garden. But if you're using it for any ulterior motive, that's already not okay. Another halacha. The person that owns the outer garden has a right to sow in that area where the derech is. Meaning in that outer garden, where the person that owns the inner garden has a derech to go through, if the chitzon wants to sow that area, that's something he has a right to do. Let's say the way this derech was given to the person that owns the inner garden was, it was done, number one, minatzad, meaning he got not a derech hamelech, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, but he got a derech minatzad, and it was midash neyim. Bezdin had to preside over it, and there was like a whole pshara, yeah, you sign here, I sign here, no problem, I solemnly swear kind of thing. So if it's in that kind of situation, so then it's already different. Meaning, there's a nafka mina, if the guy that owns the outer garden gives a kederech hamelech, or if the person that owns the outer garden had to give something, maybe per bezdin, and he didn't even give him the kederech hamelech, he just gave him a derech minatza. Where does it place itself out in nafka mina? Number one, nichnas b'shashu roitza v'yotza b'shashu roitza. So if I'm going through the middle of your field, so then already I have to conform with business hours, with whatever is usual and customary. But if I'm going minatzad, I can come and go whenever I want. Umachnes otoicha tagarin. Now I can't bring tagarin. Meaning, I can't bring tagarin straight through your field, but if I'm going minatzad, I could bring tagarin. Additionally, leikones mitoicha letoich sadacheris. However, as it relates to going to another field, that's something I'm not allowed to do. Vizeh, vizeh, inner asham lezoira. And over here, the person that owns the outer garden is not allowed to plant it. But also the person that owns the inner garden can't plant it either. By the way, this Mishnah was something that was discussed already earlier in the Perek, Il Pei Beis on the days, and the Gemara actually went in and explained a little bit the Nafka Mina, Sa'ayin Sham. It's something that we already went through together. But the bottom line is there's a Nafka Mina, depending on whether the derech is in the middle of the garden or whether the derech is at the end of the garden, and we are going to stop here. So just to end today's daf, with one ha'ara, it's negei the daf, and it's also dover bi'itoy matoiv, and it's based on a shir that I just heard from the Patterson Rosh Hashiva Hagoyin Reb Eliyahu Chaim Swerdlov Shlita. So On Rosh Hashanah, there's a very big emphasis on the Akedah. We mentioned it several times throughout davening, but really, the place where we emphasize the Akedah is with the mitzvah sayayim of Tkiya Shofar. The Gemara says, Lama toikim b'shofar shal ayil. Why do we blow with the horn of an ayil? It's so that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, through our tekiyos, should remember Eloi Shal Yitzchak. It's a way of reminding, so to speak, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of the schus of the Akedah. But really, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, when it comes the Yom Hadin, the greatest schus that Klal Yisrael has is the schus of the Akedah. And the question is why? So, the Reshiva said that if you take a look, the Ran in his drushes, it's in Drush Vav, so he's Mayrich Be'inyan Akedah. And really, what he's discussing over there is the Kasha, which is maybe the most famous Kasha ever. And that is, we make such a big deal about the Schus of the Akedah, right? The Akedah is such a Gevaldige Schus that Adaye Mazeh, it's something that we're all banking on. If you think about it, let's be honest. What was the schus of the Akedah? The schus of the Akedah was that Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram and he told him, "Kachna es bincha es yichidcha asher ahavta, and I want you to bring it to me as a carbon." I think that if the Eibishter would come to anybody and he would instruct him and command him to do that, he'd probably end up doing it. And if that's the case, all the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Chassidish Sfarim and the Mekubalim, everybody struggled with this question. What was the grace kind of Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was a Navi. He was tapped in, and he had the ability to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Eibishter comes to him, and the Eibishter tells him, "Kachnos binchas yechidcha." So where's the struggle? Yeah, for us mortals, but even for us mortals, to the extent we were on the level, and we were on the Madrega, where we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is what you need to do, l'chura, we would all sign up to do that. And if that's the case, l'chura, you have to understand what's the grace kind of that kate. And the truth is, throughout the generations, there were so many yidden that were willing to give up their lives, their families' lives, al kiddush Hashem. This is a part and parcel of the history of the Jews. And if that's the case, what is the grace kind of the schos hakate? So the Ran, who's a Rishon, and of course talks and writes like a Rishon, so b'lashoyne azov, he says a very big aside. And I'm picking it up in the middle of Drush Vav. Masha asa Avram Avinu olav ha-shalom b'akedas Yitzchak. This that Avram Avinu did by the Akedas Yitzchak, you have to understand, was a maisa that was godol moed. Why? Ki lo hayo nimshach oynesh klal im lo yakdenu. He said that had Avram Avinu not done the Akedah, he would not have been punished. Ki lo tzivo Hashem Yisbarach vazeh. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never commanded him. He never told him he has to do it. Not just that, really by Avram Avinu going and taking his son and being makiv him on the Akedah, he was undermining fakert, all the things that Hashem did promise him. And now by Avram Avinu taking his son and being makriv him, he was going to lose out on that avtach. Ukfar yodua. Ki zeh tzivoy, the tzivoy of kachnas bincho, ain't a loshen tzivoy, it's not a real tzivoy, el a loshen bakasha. All it was a loshen bakasha. Rashi says in Chumash, ain't no, el a loshen bakasha. Sheher aloy, Hashem told Avram, sheyitav be'enov, that sevoltim zeh gefelt, im Avram yimcholoy al avtach. If Avram Avinu is going to be meichel on the avtach, v'yakid benoy, and he's going to bring his son on that kid, v'lu hoy Avram Mashiva, he says the Ran, if Avram Avinu would have returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he would have responded to him, and he would have said, hey, li loy nosat zera kiyim zeh, v'hiv tachtoni boy, eich ese zeh, how do you expect me to do this? Loy hoy nechshav loy avoyin, it would not have been considered an avera, v'lo yasig enu oynish, and he wouldn't have been punished. And you know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never commanded Avram Avinu to do the Akedah. He told him, kach no, because Avram Avinu loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, still Avram Avinu did it, and the reason is because he chapped that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu said please do it, that means he wants it. It's the Chefetz Hashem. And if it's the Chefetz Hashem, says Avram Avinu, even though you didn't tell me I have to do it, even though I know there's no recourse, there's no repercussions if I don't do it. Even though I know how much I'm going to lose out by doing it, this is something I am going to do. And says the Ran, v'zeu inyan ha'akeda v'soida. If you understand this, you'll know the inyan of the akeda and you'll know the soida of the akeda. So this is a very powerful paragraph here from the Ran, that the inyan and the soida of the akeda is that it wasn't something Avraham Avinu had to do. And the reason Avraham Avinu did it was because he realized it was the Chefetz Hashem. And if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, even though he's not telling me that I need to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do it. Says the Ran, v'yesh l'zeh hoichacha b'Yerushalmi. There's a makar to this in the Yerushalmi. And this Yerushalmi is in Masechtes Tainis. It's Perek Beis Halacha Dal. Omer Rabibi, Omer Rab Abin B'Shem Rab Yoich. Omer Avraham B'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, you know what the context of this Yerushalmi is? As we say during Tzlichas, Misha Ono L'Avraham Avinu B'Hara Meiria Hu Yanenu. There was some tefillah that Avraham Avinu said B'Hara Meiria. And the Yerushalmi over there says, what was this tefillah? What's the Misha Ono L'Avraham Avinu B'Hara Meiria? What was that tefillah? So the Yerushalmi says, let me tell you what the tefillah was. Quote, Golu V'Yadula Fanecha Ribbono Shel Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Shabashosha Mark to lead the Halas is Bini Al Gabi Amizbeach, that when you told me Kachnos Binchas Yichitra Shah Hafta, Hayoli the Hosh of Aloyma, I had a very good answer. You know what I could have said? Esmola Mark to Liki Yisrach Yikar Lechazer. Yesterday you told me that my whole future is going to come from Yitzchak. And now you're telling me bring him as an oilo. Chas v'shalom lo yosisi kein. But I didn't do that. Elo, what did I do? Kavashni es Yitzri lasis ritzoincho. I overcame my Yitzhahara. Sounds like Avraham Avinu's heart was pounding, right? There was a struggle. There was some Melchemes HaYetzer over here. Oh, but Kavashti as Yitzri. I conquered, I overcame my Yetzer. Right, we always think of the Akedah as being like this. It was so easy, Avada. No one says that. Kavashti as Yitzri. I had to overcome my Yetzer. It wasn't so simple. Oh, but I did it. And the reason I did it was Lasis Ritzoincha, to do your Ratzin. Yiratzin Milfanecha. May it be your will. That if Klal Yisrael is ever going to find itself in a matzav of tzara, the ain bohem misha yelamit sanigarya, and there isn't anyone that could be melamit sanigarya, ato tehe melamit sanigarya aleihem. You should find a way if there's a situation where Klal Yisrael is standing in front of the heavenly court, and there is no lawyer in the world that's willing to take the case, because there is no way to be Malamed Sanigurya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the judge, but you should also be the lawyer that represents Klal Yisrael. Ata tei Malamed Sanigurya aleihem. Yirei uschor lehem akidosei shal Yitzchak aviyem v'tesmalei aleihem rachamim. The Ran says that the yisoid of the Akedah was that it was something that Avraham Avinu did not have to do. And the reason he did it was because he understood it was the Ratzon Hashem, that that's what Hashem wants. And if that's what Hashem wants, then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do it. I'm not doing because I was told I have to do it. Fakert, kach no, eino aloshem akasha. It's not something I have to do. But afilu hachi, Avraham Avinu realized that this is what the Chefetz Hashem was. And if this is what the Chefetz Hashem is, then I'm going to do it. So says the Ran, he fears always. So at that moment that Avraham Avinu said, I'm going to say a tefillah. You know what my tefillah is? Yehi rotzei milfanecha. Shevishosh yubanav shal Yisrael. Say Yitzchak nechtasim lidei tzara. Ve'en lehem yishay lamed sanigurya. Atatei melamed sanigurya aleim. And that moment provoked this tefillah. So here's the question. What was the pshat in the tefillah? The Ran just explained what the inyan and the soid of the akedah was. And he brings it out from the Lashonis of the Yerushalmi that Avram tells Hashem, you never told me I have to do it, but I understood it was your Yeratzin, and I went ahead and I did it anyways. What was the Oisfir? The Oisfir was, this is the perfect time, let me say a tefillah. You know what the tefillah is? That just like I did something I didn't have to do, so too, if Klal Yisrael is ever going to find itself in a situation where it doesn't make sense and the math doesn't add up, atu tehe melamed sanigurya aleihem. And really, vashteita in der Yerushalmi, vashteita in der Ran is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself with us, mida keneged mida. If we go, al pi shuras adin, Davish is going to go with us, al pi shuras adin. But if we go deeper, and we go with nim shuras adin, and we do even the things that we're not obligated to do, then the Davish is going to go with us, lefnim shuras adin as well. And that's why Avraham Avinu, the minute he does the akedah, when he stands and he's kavash as Yitzroy, so what does he say? He says he rotzin that you should go with us lefnei Mishur Sadin, and he mamish sets up a Rosh Hashanah. He sets up that you have the Bnei Yitzchak and they're in an Eis Tzara and they're standing in front of a mishpat ve'ein lahem misha yolamit zaniguria. and there's no one that wants to take the case. It's Mamash Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because I did the Akedah. What Shaykhis? It's because I went more. I didn't follow the rules. I colored outside the lines, right? I went with Nimashur Sadin. I didn't say, what are you asking me to do? But I said, what do you want me to do? I went into what the chavetz and the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. If you conduct yourself in that way, it's only fear, midah keneged midah, that the Eibusha should conduct himself back in that way as well. The aside of the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, said Rebbe Chaim Swerdlov Shlita, is that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. And the emes is, who could possibly be Yotza Zakai B'din? It's not an easy thing. Yeah, it's Hadikim Gemurim, but it's a very hard place to come to, where a person's really going to be Zakai B'din. But on Rosh Hashanah, what we do is we invoke our history. We invoke our past. Going back to Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, where Avraham Avinu went with Nimeshur Sadin, and that's our legacy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we conduct ourselves with you, Lifnim Mishur Sadin. We don't just follow the letter of the law. We try to develop this relationship. We try to understand what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And that's the way we conduct ourselves with you. And if that's the case, it's only fear that Atatei Malamet Saniguri Aleya. The Inyan of the Akedah that we showed him already. So it's not just to remember the Akedah. It's to somehow Shtel Zuchtzu to the Akedah. What does it mean, Shtel Zuchtzu to the Akedah? It's to understand a little bit what the Eibishter wants. I'm not just going to do what I'm told. I'm going to do what it's implied and understood the Eibishter wants from me. Zeu inyan ha'akedah v'soida, says there. This is coming from the Rishonim. Zeu inyan ha'akedah v'soida. You want to know the inyan ha'akedah v'soida? It's that the Eibishter said, kach no, ein no alalash v'akasha, and Avraham Avinu did it as if it was a tzivoy, and even though it came with a tremendous invoice. That is the whole Akedah. And that means that the Yesoid of the Akedah, the Soid of the Akedah, is this Bechina of not just doing what I'm being told to do, but it's going the Fnimish Rosh Hashanah, it's understanding what the Ratzin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and tapping into that Ratzin, and that's something that's a tremendous kayach when it comes to Yom HaDin. Because if you go with Din, so then you meshuba to Din, but if you go the Fnimish Rosh Hashanah, it's Mamash Avraham Avinu's Taina. He says, if I did this, don't forget, you have an obligation now, quid pro quo, you have to go ahead and you have to do the same thing. Yeshiva said that the Gemara says, and Masechet Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Gemara is a classic. Darish Rav Avir. Zimnin Amar L'Meshmeidei Rav Ami. V'Zimnin Amar L'Meshmeidei Rav Asi. Amar M'lach Yashar Sefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam. Kasa B'Torah Yosechet says in the Torah Shel Yisa Panam V'Leikach Shoichat. V'Aloi Atan Noisa Panam L'Yisrael. Dichsev Yisa Hashan Panam V'Lecho. So the M'lach Yashar is turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, Eibish is a steer in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Hashel Yisa Panam V'Leikach Shoichat. Yet, at the same time, the pasuk says Yisa Hashem Panav Ilech, both referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a lo Yisa Panav V'Leikach Shoichat. Eibush is not a noisa panim. Yet it says Yisa Hashem Panav Ilech. What does it mean to be noisa panim? To show favoritism. So one pasuk says Eibush doesn't show favoritism. There's another pasuk that says Eibush does show favoritism. One's a pasuk in Parshas Nosay, does a pasuk in Parshas Eikev. Mamash two pasukim in the Torah that contradict each other. So the Gemara says Amalehem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu turned to Malachi Asharis. He said V'chiloi Es Panim Li Yisrael. I don't understand. You expect me not to be nois upon him, Yisrael. I mean, I know it says Asher lo yis upon him, but how could I not be nois upon him, Yisrael? Shekosavti lam b'Torah. It says in the Torah, v'achalte v'zavatu v'irachtas Hashem alikecha. That you know when you bench, if you're saveh, if you're full, v'heim medaktik in alatzman ad kezayis v'ad kebeya. And the Yidin, if they eat a kezayis, they can eat a, and they eat a beya, they're going to bench also. You know, the hergish, I think, when you learn this Gemara is, not just, really, you have a pantry full of food, that you sit down, you eat only a kezayis, and I'm going to go, I'm going to bench. There were times where the Yidin didn't have more than a kezayis and a beya. And they were in such a shvera matziv. And afal pi, they were in concentration camps. There was nothing. And afilu hachi, they benched. It was v'chalta v'savato v'irachta, right? It was a bechina of, even in the darkest times, the Yidden are always benching me. And if that's the case, if they're medaktik in al-atzman, ad kezayis v'ad kebeya, so how could I not be nois? So what's Pasha Pshan in the Gemara? So if you look at the Maral says, you want to know what Pshan in the Gemara is? Pshan in the Gemara is, the Eibush says, you want to know how the world works? The world works, Ashelo Yisa Panav Alikach Shoichat. There's a din, there's a cheshbin. I'm going to show favoritism? What? I like this person, the plaintiff, more than I like the defendant, and Mimela he's going to be Yotza Zaki B'din, Asher Lo Yis upon him, for Lo Yikach Shoichat. Abba Zok to Eibishter, what do you want me to do? Klai Yisrael is nois upon him to me. This is the way they operate with me. V'chiloi Es upon him, They played me. I can't help it. There's nothing I can do. It's Avraham Avinu's taina. He said, they don't just do what they're supposed to do, but they go more than that. And they do the chefetz of Hashem. They do the rotzen of Hashem. And being that they do the chefetz and the rotzen of Hashem, chavish kambreira. Wait, what's the lashon of the Gemara? What? V'chiloyas upadam liyisrael? Like, what do you want? Malach Hashem, you tell me what to do. Like, how would you conduct yourself with someone? If you have someone, you have a friend, you have a person that you know is in your orbit, and he is nice upon him to you. What, is it a normal thing to not be nice upon him back to him? Right? How could you do that? That's wrong. It's horrible. You're a maturif. You have to do that. So David, I don't know what to do. You're right, it says in the Torah, Ashal Yis upon him. But I'm tied. I v'chiloyas upon him? Chamnish kamreira. But he stelt zu a moir de gesefri. And this is really the punchline as it relates to what we're getting to. This is free, and this is in Parshas Nos, it says the same exact thing that this Gemara in Mesachtes Bracha says, but it says it b'shinu loshen ksas. Kosov echadoyme yisa Hashem pon avelacha. V'kosov echadoyme asher lo yisa upon him. How do you make sense? How do you reconcile these two psukim? Says the Sifri. You ready? The Sifri is saying the same exact thing that the Gemara is saying in Brachas. Yes upon him. Should I not be nice upon him? They go and they do more than they're supposed to do. But the Sifri says it in a different lashon. Then it's Yisa Hashem upon Avelecho. And when the Yidden are not Oyser and Tzayin Yishal Malkim, it's Ashal Yisa upon him. I think if you ask the man on the street, what does it mean? Kan Bizman She Yisrael Oyser and Tzayin Yishal Malkim, Kan Bizman She Ein Yisrael Oyser and Tzayin Yishal Malkim. A signun that you find in many places in Shas. I think he would say, I don't know, are Yidden doing Torah Mitzvahs? They're not doing Torah Mitzvahs. In this Sifri, it's Mavur a little bit more than that. What does it mean, Oysen Ritzoyn Shal Makim? Oysen Ritzoyn Shal Makim as opposed to Oysen Tzivuy of Shal Makim. Ritzoyn Shal Makim doesn't mean the commandments of Hashem. Ritzoyn Shal Makim means the will of Hashem. It means the Ritzoyn of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us 613 Mitzvahs. But from the 613 Mitzvahs, we could have a hunch of what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The commandment of Hashem is not the same as the will of Hashem. It's not the same thing. Klal Yisrael, when they're Oysen Ritzoy Mishal Malkim, they don't just ask themselves, what did the Eibishter command us to do? But what is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we're Oysen Ritzoy Mishal Malkim, that means we're not just doing what we were told to do. We're going Lefnei Mishur HaSadin. We're trying to understand what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. When we're Oysen Ritzoy Mishal Malkim, what we're essentially doing is we're being nice upon him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going more. Oh, we're going more. Zok the Eibishter, V'chila, yes, upon him. But this gives a whole nother calm to what it means, Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim. The Taich of Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim is Rotzen in terms of Rotzen as opposed to the Tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you take a look at the Tefillah of Avraham Avinu, that Yerushalmi that the Ran quoted, Omer Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Golev Yadula Fanecha Ribbono Shaloy, Shabashash Amartali Lahalis Yitzchak Bnei Agabi HaMizbeach, Hayoli Lahashiv Veloy, Mar Esmol Amartali Kibi Yisrael Karl Chazara, Ve'achshav Ata Oymeli Aleu La'oyla, Chas V'Shalom Lo Yosisi Kein, Ela, Kovashti Es Yitzri, Laso Yis Ritzoyncha. You know what I did? I was Kovash my Yitzahara to do your Ratzin. I understood what your Ratzin, what do you mean Ratzin? You never told me to do it. That's the whole point. You didn't tell me to do it. Ratzin means not what you were commanded to do. Ratzin means what the Eibishter wants. And kovashti es yitzri laso es ritzoincha. I did your Ratzin. And if that's the case, he Ratzin milfanecha, may your Ratzin be to go ahead and to do midah keneged midah. But kan bezman sheyisrael oisin ritzoin shel makim, the yisoid of ritzoin shel makim is that you're doing the Ratzin. And that's what the Sifri says. When the yidin oisin ritzoin shel makim, oh, yisash ampon avilecha. When the ein oisin ritzoin shel makim, enochanami, then it's already going to be ashel yis upon him. So the Shiva went and he shtel zu weiter. He said that everyone knows the Gemara Masechtes Brachos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. It's in contention for the most famous Gemara in Shas. Tanu Rabbanan, Vasavtu Diganecha. Not Talmud Loimar. It also says Loyomer Sefer Torah Zemipicha. Right. So how do you reconcile those two pesukim? Vasavtu Diganecha means you should be out in the field. You should be doing your work. It says Loyomer Sefer Torah Zemipicha, which sounds like you always have to be learning. So the Gemara says it was Machoikis who Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai had to reconcile these two pesukim. Rabbi Shmuel said you do both. Hanik mem din derech eretz. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, if you could be chayrus b'shas chirish, if it's a rebe b'shas riyah, if a koitz b'shas ktsir, if a dosh b'shas, if it's a rebe b'shas ruah, tori mateo, leo, elo, leikasha. Kam bezman she yisrael oisim ritzayn yishol malkim, and kam bezman she in oisim ritzayn yishol malkim. When the yidin are oisim ritzayn yishol malkim, it's lo yomush seif ha-tayr zami picha. Aye, who's going to work the field? Malach the nasis al yudei achir. When the yidin are in oisim ritzayn yishol malkim, that's for yosaf to the gonecha. So Tosfos asks, and the Nefesh HaChaim and Shaar Aleph is very mayrich in this kasha, and this is also one of the great kashas ever, and that is, how could the Gemara say that the pasuk of Vosafta de Ganecha is talking about Bisman She'ein Oisim Ritzayin Yishol Malkim? Where does it say Vosafta de Ganecha? We say it twice a day B'Ahava. It says it in V'Hoyim Shemaya. V'Hoyim Shemaya Tishmu, if you're going to do the mitzvahs, then V'Nasati Gishmeichim V'Itam, Vosafta de Ganecha, and Faket, Chalilof, not... The pasuk's talking about when you're oisim ritzayin yishol malkim. And Tosfos, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, ki yadua, the svarim mutcha very much with this kasha. So said Reb Chaim Shlita, lefi anal, it's not shayach. It's a whole different ponim. The pasuk of Oyim Shemaya Tishmu is talking about yidin that are keeping Torah mitzvahs. But lav dafke the oisim ritzayin yishol malkim. Ritzayin yishol malkim doesn't mean tzivuy of shol malkim. It means what's the rotzin of the malkim. That's a whole different madrega. When the yidin are oisim ritzayin yishol malkim, that brings on a whole different ramah. That's melach de nasai de acherim. That's v'chilo yes upon him. That's a different Indian. That brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's melamed tzani guryo. But v'hoyim shemoyah is lav davka oisir ritzayin yishol malkim. You can keep 613 mitzvahs, but you're not necessarily oisir ritzayin yishol malkim. And that's the point. Yeah, v'hoyim shemoyah. Oh, but there's zok that it's an oisir ritzayin yishol malkim. From this sifri, from the Shani Azrov Shal Avram Avinu in the Drasha Saran, and that Yerushalmi, it's mashma ritzayin yishol malkim means the lefnim yishur sadin. Not what Hashem told me to do, but what I can decipher is the will of Hashem or what He would want me to do. When a person is oisin ritzayin yishol malkim, that kicks you into a whole other gear, and that's that madrega Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and that's the teretz maybe the Tosfos kasha. But then besides, I was thinking that it could be there's a klara makar to this inyan, and that is, we know the Gemara Masechtes Kedushin, Daf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph. So Brachas Lamed Hey is not the most famous Gemara in Shas. Could be Kedushin Lamed Vav is. The pasuk says, "Banim Atim Lashem Alekechem. Bisman Shatim Noyeg Minig Banim, Atim Kruyim Banim. Ein Atim Noyeg Minig Banim, Ein Atim Kruyim Banim." Who said this? Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir says, "Benkach Kruyim Banim." Now Klai Yisrael is always considered Banim, meaning. We find that sometimes Klai Yisrael is referred to as Banim. You find Klai Yisrael is referred to as Avadim. Right? How are you supposed to reconcile this? So Yehuda said, you're right. We're not always called Banim. If we're Noyeg Minig Banim, then we're called Banim. If we're not Noyeg Minig Banim, then we're not called Banim. Rameir said Chalila. Rameir said, this is Elokadim Eiraneni. Rameir said, Benkach Benkach Kruyim Banim, that Klai Yisrael is always going to be considered Banim. That means is, there's a Yerushalmi. Also, here in the first parak of Masechtas Kedushin, it's parak Aleph Halacha Zayin. The Yishalmi over there is discussing Kshitas Rabbi Lazar. Ma mikayim Rabbi Lazar banim. So in the Chesed of the Gemara, Gemara has a problem. What does Rabbi Lazar do with the pasuk banim atim l'Hashem alekeichem? Says Rabbi Lazar, b'shashi Yisrael oisim ritzayin yishal makayim kriyim banim. U'b'shashi ein Yisrael oisim ritzayin yishal makayim einam kriyim banim. Sounds a lot like Kshitas Rabbi Yehuda, but it's not the same nusach. Rabbi Yehuda said, b'zman Sha'atem noyagim minig banim, atem kriyim banim. If you're not noyag minig banim, you're not called banim. Rabbi Lozah says similar but not the same. B'shosh Yisrael oisir ritzoynoi shal makim. That's when you're kriyim banim. But when you're not oisir ritzoynoi shal makim, you're not kriyim banim. But the emes says lefi anal, it's really one and the same. I just want to read one excerpt in Mesilas Yesharim. This is in Perek Yud Ches, where he talks about Midas HaChsidus that brings this out. So Mesilas Yesharim is introducing the concept of Chsidus. So he says like this, Hine, Shorash HaChsidus, hu masha amru zal, Ashrei Odom Shamoloi Betoira, Va'oise Nachas Ruach Liyotzer. Ve'inyin hu, Ki hine, Hamitzvois Hamutolois Al Kol Yisrael, Kray Yeduois Hein, V'chayvosan Yedu Ad Heichan Himagaz. Everyone knows about mitzvahs. If somebody loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, he's not only going to try to check off the box and do what he has to do. Rather, the way he's going to behave towards Hashem is the way a child who loves his father behaves towards his father. Because a father, if he shows a little bit what he wants, the son is going to take the cue and he's going to say, oh, this is what my father wants, let me go ahead and do it. And even if his father only told it to him one time, it was a yad, he's going to use that clue to figure out what the das of his father is. To do even what his father didn't tell him a furish to do. He's not going to wait for his father to tell it him more clearly, or to say it a second time. And the Ramchal fears us, and he says that's what it means. Ashrei Adam Shamolei B'Torah Va'Oisei Nachas Ruach LiYotzrei. Ashrei Adam Shamolei B'Torah is someone that keeps Torah and Mitzvahs. Va'Oisei Nachas Ruach LiYotzrei. What does that mean? Gemara Brachos Yudzayin Amar Aleph. Va'Oisei Nachas Ruach LiYotzrei doesn't just do Torah and Mitzvahs, but his objective is to do a Nachas Ruach LiYotzrei. Right. He wants to give his creator a nachas ruach. What's the will of my creator? And that's what I want to go ahead and I want to do. A person that's noyeg minig banim is someone that does more than he has to do. The Ramchal, when he lays out the foundation, the yichsoida chasidus v'shayrish advoida atmimo of chasidus, he says it's keminig haben el ha'av. How does a child respect his father versus two strange people that maybe have some transactional relationship? It's very, very different. If it's a transactional relationship, you tell me what to do, I'll do it. If it's something that I care to do, a child could say a chasidim. Any little thing, that in and of itself is going to be enough. Right, we learn this Gemara so often. Kiddush Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bizman she'atem noyag minig banim." What does it mean to be noyag minig banim? It's this Ramchal. It's Perik Yud Ches in Mesilas Yesharim. He told you exactly what it means. It means to not just do what you're told to do, but you hear a chatzi dibur, and you're going to go ahead and you're going to do so much more. You're not just a moli batayru, but you're isenachas ruach liyotzroi. That is what it means to be noyag minig banim. Minig banim means not to just do what you're supposed to do. For that, you can be an eved. Could be a minig avadim, right? We're going to say on Rosh Hashanah, im kibanim, im ka avadim. Avadim also do what they're supposed to. They better, right? If not, they're going to be yoitz of b'shem v'ayin, right? They don't have a choice. They have to do what they're supposed to do. That's not what it means to be noyag minig banim. To be noyag minig banim means to be oisa ritzoyne shalmakim. Vehein hein advarim. The Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara, the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda in Kiddushin Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, that when are we called banim, bizman shakim noyeg minig banim, is the same as the Lashon of Rabbi Lazar in the Yerushalmi, that says, kam bizman shen oisin ritzayna shalmakim, kam bizman shen ein oisin ritzayna shalmakim. Because oisin ritzayna shalmakim, it does not mean tzivuya shalmakim, it means the rotzen of the makim, it means you're being noyeg minig banim. I'm asking myself, what is not the tzivoy, but what's the nachas ruach liyotzmi? It's the madrega of Ravam Avinu. It was a kach no b'afilu hachi hichab. That is ritzoncha, and if that's ritzoncha, kovash es yitzri, last is ritzoncha. And that's what I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do. I think this Gemara in Kiddush Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, with this Loshana Yerushalmi in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin in Kiddush, Mamish brings out this Nakuda, that the Yisoid of Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim is Mamish Noyeg Minik Banim, which is one of the same. It's nasis lachas ruach. It's rotzen Dafka. What does it have to do with our sugya? So what it has to do with Rosh Hashanah is obvious. But what does it have to do with our sugya? So Gemara asked the kasha. Gemara said that there's two psukim. One's a pasuk in Truma, the other's a pasuk in Divrei Hayom. But there's two psukim that describe the kruvim. One is rather talking about the kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, the other one's talking about the kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. But again, two psukim that talk about the kruvim and describe them in different ways. One pasuk says that the kruvim were pnei mishalachiv. The other one says they were pnei melabayis. The Gemara says it was a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Chad amar, chad amar. What was the machlekes? How do you give zechen etzah here? I mean, you have these two psukim. How do you reconcile them? One of them said, "Kam bezman she yisrael oisim ritzayin shal malkim." Kam bezman she ein oisim ritzayin shal malkim. The other one says, "No, it's not studi. It's sadudi. It was just like a little bit on an angle, like ketamid anifte meirapo." But kam bezman she yisrael oisim ritzayin shal malkim. Kam bezman she ein oisim ritzayin shal malkim. The idea of the kruvim being pnei mishal achiv is what? What's the symbol? The symbol is that there's this tremendous ahava, this tremendous liebshaft, this tremendous kurva between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do we have that? When we're Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim. When we're Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, that's when we have that. And that's what that Mandamar says. Kam bezman she Yisrael Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, kam bezman she ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim. When you're Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, so then the Eibishter says, oh, you're coming to me with this ahava. What does it mean Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim? You're not just doing what I commanded you to do, but you're doing what my Ratzin is. Are you doing what my Ratzin is? So you're treating me, let's say, Keben El Av, so I'm going to treat you back like an av to a ben. And as a result, it's going to be pnei mishalachiv. But when Klal Yisrael's ein oisim ritzayin shalmakim, could be they're even doing Torah mitzvahs, right? Let's just think for a second. There's a Beis HaMikdash standing, right? Just the kruvim happen to be in another direction. It's not mamish and a matzah with this churban Beis HaMikdash, right? Today, we're not negeya, but once upon a time, right, there's a Beis HaMikdash, but there ain't oisin ritzayin shamakim. You're not oisin ritzayin shamakim. You're not tapping into that madrega. You're not tapping into that madrega. So then already, it's midah keneged midah. Then it's going to be pneim halabayas. It's poshet, the oimik that comes out, lefi hanal, in what oisin ritzayin shamakim means, and specifically what it means in our sugya, that when it's oisin ritzayin shamakim, now there's this quid pro quo relationship, now it's going to be pnei mishalach. But I just want to end with one hergish. One hergish. You know, the Gemara says in the Sechtes Yuma, it's a well-known Gemara, Daf, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Amar Ish Lakish, B'shal Shenichnasu Nachrim Lehechel, when the Nachrim entered the Hechel, Ro Kruvim Hamurim Zeh Bezeh. So the Nachrim saw that the Kruvim were hugging each other. Haitzion Lashok, they brought the Kruvim outside. The Amru, and they said, Yisrael Halalu, Shabrachasim Bracha, Vikilasim Klalu, Yasku, Bedvar Malalu, says, you want to know what goes on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Right, a Zachar and a Keva, they're engaged in this Inyan. This is what goes on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Miyad Hizilum, and immediately they were Mevazah, the Yidin, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kol Mechabdeo Hizilua. Kiro Ervasa, one of the first psukim in Sefer Eicha, that there was a tremendous bazaar that came from this. And the Ritva, and this is one of the most famous kashas, but the Ritva often brings from the Rimagash, that the Rimagash asks, he says, I don't understand. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Tesamad Aleph, that the Kruvim sometime were Pnei Mishalachiv, and sometime they were Pnei Malabayas. What did it depend on? Kambas Manche Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, Kambas Manche Ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim. This was the time of the Churban. Lechayre Ein Lecha Ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim Gedoy Lemizu. It's a pella. How does it shit with that Gemara? Any muchas to say, Pshat, Ibn Saska brings Torah Kiyadur from the Maggid, etc. Dvar Matim Sheikh is going to come on Tisha B'Av. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Right, Ayotzel Adar Tzarch Lifkir Azishtai. Right, we know all the Machshav, we've spoken about this so many times. Dvarim Mefush Samim and Dvarim Matikin. But I just want one hergish. The Gemara said that there were really two manda amrim in terms of how to decipher this contradiction. Is it pnei mishal achiv or is it pnei malabayis? It was machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar. Chad amar azoy v'chad amar azoy. Meaning one manda amar said that sometimes it was this way, sometimes it was that way. What does it depend on? Kam bezman she yisrael oisin ritzayin shalmakim. Kam bezman she yisrael oisin ritzayin shalmakim. But the other manda amar said no shaykhis, nothing to do with that. That's bechlal not the sugya. No, there's no shaykhis. That's not the inyan. Fakat, they're always looking at each other. It's grad a little bit. Kitamar aniftemi rabbi. There's a certain covet that Klal Yisrael has. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Hakadoshim. So kitamar aniftemi rabbi. You have to do a bederech covet. But fakat, it's always pnei mishalachiv. So it's chadam or chadam. So who said what? Who said pnei mishalachiv? And who said pnei malabayis? So Rav Reuven Margolis in the Sefer Shemoylim says, I don't know for sure. He said, but I'm pretty confident that it's Rabbi Lozer that said that kam bezman she yisrael oisim ritzayin shalmakim and kam bezman she ein oisim ritzayin shalmakim. And he says, you know where my confidence is coming from? Because there are many places in Chazal where there was a stira between two psukim, and Rabbi Lozer Dyke is the one that said kam bezman she yisrael oisim ritzayin shalmakim the kam bezman she ein yisrael oisim ritzayin shalmakim. He says, poshut to me that it's Rabbi Lozer. And he says, not just that, I have many rayas from Chazal that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't care so much about if they're oisim ritzayin shalmakim ein oisim. Obviously he cares, but the point is it doesn't make the impact and this incredible shift in the Olamis as it does in Rabbi Loz's world, meaning in terms of the way the Shechina and all is manifest on this world. But the emesis is even more than that. Because we mentioned the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, what does Rabbi Le'ozer? Le'ozer without an aleph in Yerushalmi is El-Lazar, Mitan Aleph, and Bavli. What does Rabbi Loz'er do with the pasuk that says, Bonam Atam L'Hashem Alekeichem? And what did Rabbi Loz'er say? Rabbi Loz'er said that it depends. When Klal Yisrael is called Bonam Atam L'Hashem Alekeichem, B'shasha Yisrael Eisen Ritzayin Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Kriyim Bonam. U'b'shasha En Yisrael Eisen Ritzayin Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu En Kriyim Bonam. Which is, of course, Shittas Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Loz'er already said that when a Klal Yisrael Bonam L'Hashem Alekeichem, it's only when we're Eisen Ritzayin Shal Malkim. If we're Nice and Ritzayin Shal Malkim, we're not called Banim. That means the way Reuven Margolis is learning, but even Klali, that it's Pasha, that's Rabbi Laza L'Shitasai. That Rabbi Laza that holds that the only time we're called Banim is when we're Eisen Ritzayin Shal Malkim. So L'Shitasai, when is it Pnei Mishalachiv? When we're Eisen Ritzayin Shal Malkim. But what is it according to the other Mandam? What's according to Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan holds it's always Pnei Mishalachiv. Why is it always Pnei Mishalachim? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds Benkachu Benkach Kriyim Banim. And being that Rabbi Yochanan holds Benkachu Benkach Kriyim, he's the other she. Who's the other she? It's Rabbi Meir, who holds Benkachu Benkach Kriyim Banim. So even in a matzah where we're Ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, where we're not Noyeg Minik Banim, it's still going to be Pnei Mishalachim. That kasha that the Rimagash asked, the grace of kasha, Yuma Nundalad Amadeus, that kasha is all a kasha in that mandamah. Well, when you learn Yuma, you forget sometimes that it's really two mandamas. And in that mandamah, in Rabbi Loza, you have to work it out, and you'll have to say Torah. Of if I guess Nish, it's only one mandamah. And the other mandamah, Rabbi Reuven Margolis, was Megalitas' Rabbi Yochanan. And if it's Rabbi Yochanan, we know we paskin like. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. And by the way, the Machlokes Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rajba said in the Tshuva already, Ki Yadua, that we paskin like Rameh. We paskin Benkachu Benkach Kriyim Banim. And if that's the case, we paskin that even when Klai Yisrael is not Oyser and Tzayin Shalmachim, it's still going to be Pnei Mishalachim. That whole Kasha is a nice academic Kasha that's true in the world of Rabbi. Laza is going to have to explain that Gemara. But Lefiya Emes, Aliba the Hilchasa, there's nothing to explain. Because when the Nachrim walked in, B'shas the Churban, and they entered the Kodesh HaGadosh. You know what they saw? They saw the Kruvim were Me'urim Zebezeh. Klai Yisrael? What? Me'urim Zebezeh? They're Yidin Ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim. And if they're Ein Oysen on such a level that this Churban Beis HaMikdash, this Churban Beis Rishon, this is Avodah Zarah, this is Gilui Raya, Shvichas Domim, the state of the Union is so bad. We're so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is it possible that the Kruvim are Me'urim? Now, that's a miracle that they were Me'urim Zebezeh. But the point is, this is not Pnei Mishalachim. This is Mamish Me'urim Zebezeh. How you talking? It's not a kasha. It's not a kasha. Because regardless of the matzah that the Yidden are on, Benkach, Ubenkach, whether we're Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, whether we're Ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, we're always called Banim. It wasn't a kasha. Avada, they walked in, and you know what they saw? They saw a father who was punishing his children. That's what they saw. That's what they saw. They thought this was kol mechabdeh hizilu or kiro or vasa. They missed the whole boat. That's not what they were looking at. What they were looking at was a father who's punishing his children very harshly. Very, very harshly. But at the same time, it's with a tremendous ahava. Because at the end of the day, that ahava doesn't go anywhere. That ahava is benkachu benkach kriyim banim. It's shitas Remeir in Kedushin Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. And it's shitas Rabbi Yochanan. It's shitas Rabbi Yochanan in Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that benkachu benkach, it's Pnei Mishal Achiv, it's shitas Remeir, who holds benkachu benkach kriyim banim. It's Pashat of arithmetic. It's the same Indian. If we're banim amanav shach, then it's going to be Pnei Mishal Achiv amanav shach. Because the way the Kruvim are situated is what represents our relation. We're always banim. And if we're always banim, it's always going to be Pnei Mishal Achiv. Yeah, kan bisman shi Yisrael oisin, kan ein oisin. That's Rabbi Lazar. But we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. And if we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, it's always banim. It's always Pnei Mishal Achiv.